The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
His kingdom come. You get to this point in Christmas and you can kind of figure all of the anticipation. You go to the stores and you hear those songs. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. And then you know Christmas is close. You know the lyrics. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa is on his way. He has loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is going to spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. Man, it's here. Christmas is 3 weeks away. And we hear the stories of Santa and the reindeer and the sleighs and the anticipation, the expectation. Well, there is the announcement. You know, the announcement for us, if you're young, your announcement is, will Christmas ever get here? If you're old, it's, is Christmas here already? And this same anticipation took place on the part of some for the very first Christmas 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine? Our children look back at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. But what about the Jewish children who for hundreds and thousands of years had looked forward to the coming of the Messiah? They were waiting for him to come. Is this the year? Is this the month? Is this the day? Will the Messiah come? Is it going to be this time? Generations and generations came and went. And there was no Messiah. For thousands of years, the Jewish people had been in the waiting room. Been in the waiting room. And still no baby. Some of you husbands know what it's like to be in the waiting room and no baby. Mary was 11 hours in labor. And I couldn't take that. I went to the waiting room. No baby. The Jews had been in the waiting room, and it's one of the hardest places to be. We talked about it in times of refreshing, that in the waiting room, it's hard when you don't know. Is it benign or is it cancer? Did I keep my job or lose my job? Is the operation successful? Did it work out okay? By the way, I asked you last week to pray for my dad, 87 years old, had his second knee replacement on Friday. And he did well. Thank you for your prayers. I was in the waiting room waiting for him to call. And finally, couldn't stand it anymore. And I called him. And it was okay. But it's hard to be in that waiting room, you know. And yet, that's where the Jewish people were. And so, if you can imagine, this is a message not just for the Jewish people who were in the waiting room, is the Messiah coming? It's a message for you and me. When we need God to come through, when it seems like in our life that maybe God's just ignorant and he doesn't know what we need, or maybe God is indifferent, he doesn't care what we need, or maybe he's impotent and he can't give us what we need. But the good news is, in the announcement that Luke provides, he tells us two stories. He tells us a story about a really old man and a story about a really young girl. And in both of these, you have proof that if you are in the waiting room, God is not impotent. He is not ignorant. He is not just irresponsible and lackadaisical. He's working. In fact, I would tell you the overall lesson of what we look at today in these two stories, the old man and the young girl, God is never late. He's right on time. So what does that mean for me? Well, if we look at what Luke says, it means that I'm supposed to keep waiting because God is moving even though I'm waiting. It says in the scripture, in the time of Herod, king of Judah, in the time of Herod, king of Judah, he may as well have said in the days of Adolf Hitler for you and me. He could have said in the days of Russia in the 50s, in the days of Joseph Stalin, because that's what the Jewish people thought when they heard Herod, king of Judah. He was a madman. He was a murderer. So when Luke writes these words, in the time of Herod, king of Judah, he's a Roman king installed by Caesar. All of Israel is under his dominating rule, and it was depressing. They didn't want to hear that. In the days of Herod. What made it even worse? For 400 years, God had been silent. For 400 years, there had been no prophecy. 400 years, there had been no miracle. 400 years, not one angel showed up to give a message. So not only was it striking to these people in the time of Herod, but 400 years God had been silent. The glory days of David and Solomon were gone. Israel had been under the dominion of 25 different nations during that time. They had been the whipping boy of the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and now the Romans. In the time of Herod. Had God forgotten his promise to Abraham? Had he forgotten his promise to Isaac and Jacob, to his people? No. And the announcement reminds us of that, because in the story you have a precious couple by the name of Zechariah and Elizabeth. We read some good words about them. The Bible says both of them were righteous in the sight of God. They observed all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. So they're good people, they're godly people, they're church-going people. And yet, I wonder how they did it. They still believed in the promise of the Messiah. They both held out hope that God wasn't done. But look at this one sentence. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. There's the blot. There's the blemish. The story of their life. They had no kids. They had no children. And remember, in those days, if a woman did not have a child, then she was considered cursed by God. The people believed that she was barren because she had done something wrong. She had been so wrong that God refused to perpetuate her lineage. So I think you have Zechariah and Elizabeth devoted to God but discouraged. I think they were probably despondent, and I think they doubted whether God was really going to work in their lives. Zechariah remained faithful. He was a priest, which means he carried out his priestly duties, which in itself to me is a miracle. In itself to me, it's a marvel that he did that. Heaven had been silent, not a word, not a work from God. It's like Zechariah and Elizabeth could have said, the dream has died. Maybe God's dead. God's promise is empty. But now this announcement, and the announcement sets up a chain reaction that's going to change the world. Zechariah and Elizabeth have been waiting for a child, just like Israel has been waiting for a Messiah. And the announcement has come, and what this announcement means is that while you've been waiting, God has been working. And if I could give you some hope today, it is for you, while you have been waiting, whatever is happening, God is working. You may not see it, you may not understand it, you may not even believe it, but God is working. This is His world, and He's doing it His way. He never goes on vacation. He never takes a break. He is never idle. He is always moving in your life, even if you don't know it. That's the first thing we learn from Zechariah and Elizabeth. Keep waiting. God is moving. And then the second thing, keep working because God is listening. Elizabeth and Zechariah have been praying for a child. I suspect that they have been praying for a child since they got married. Scripture here indicates that they're probably near 90 years old, which means they probably have been praying for about 70 years. And they're still with God. They could do what a lot of preachers do these days, what a lot of ministers have done, and that is they could quit and leave the ministry because it didn't go their way. They could ask that question, why should I serve God? What good does it do to be righteous and fulfill my calling when God doesn't even hear and answer my prayer? What good is living for God? Do you know that in America, 1,700 pastors on the average leave their ministry every year? We rejoice that in America, through all of the churches, 10,000 new churches begin every year. But 7,000 churches close their doors every year. People give up and say, there's no hope, there's no help. What am I going to do? Let me give you another figure. Do you know that out of every 10 pastors that begin in the ministry, only one will stay in the ministry until he retires? 9 of them quit before retirement age. I saw Pastor Bob walking around here somewhere. He retired in ministry. He retired. He stayed faithful. And I know he and Patty had hard times and hardship. Pastor Ray Gillespie. See his wife on Facebook every while. They're back in Illinois, living on a farm, living a dream, got his own pond. He retired in the ministry. But for those two, 18 other ministers quit before they got to the finish line. Zechariah could have done that. My guess is at some point, they thought about it, but he kept working and he kept listening. And the angel said to him, he kept listening and kept working, and the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. 5 enormous elephant-sized words. Your prayer has been heard. Nearly 7 decades they've been praying for a child, and the angel announces, hey, Zechariah, every word has been heard. Have you ever prayed and it felt like as you were praying that heaven is covered with a steel curtain and your prayers are just bouncing back? Have you ever prayed and felt like they were a rubber ball bouncing off the cement because they weren't even going up, they're just going down? Let me tell you something. God is listening and he hears every prayer. He listens and hears every prayer. The angel says to Zechariah, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to call him John. And God has promised, in fact, it's a prophecy, that Jesus would have a forerunner and that John would turn many in Israel back to the Lord. You see, 9 pastors may give up on God, but this one didn't give up on God, and he continues to work, and God is listening, and God brings him that answer, even in doubt and disbelief. But you look at Zechariah, he does have a low time here, because Zechariah says, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Now let me tell you, I studied Greek for 4 years. I studied 3 years of Greek, but I took the first year twice because I wasn't smart enough to get it. Once I got it, I took a couple more years. And I know what this verse means because I know Greek. I am an old man. He's saying, I'm old, but I think I still got it in me. I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. That's what it says. You just don't read Greek. And then he says, but my wife, Ain't no way, angel. Man, you look in her yearbook and Moses is in her graduating class. And the angel says, I love this. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Zechariah, my name's Gabriel, and I left God's side to come here. And I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. God told me, Zechariah, to tell you. Now, let me tell you, Zechariah, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to say anything else until the day it happens. You may not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Gabriel calls a technical foul on Zechariah, blows a whistle, throws the flag. But that phrase, do you see it? Which will come true at their appointed time. Why? Zechariah didn't quit. He kept on working and listening. And you need to remember that God didn't quit either. He kept on listening to every prayer and heard every word. He does the same thing for you. Third thing, keep watching. God is coming. 6 months after this conversation with Gabriel, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Gabriel is back. I think that tells me something. If an angel by the name of Gabriel ever shows up, it's going to be a good day. All right? He's got some good things to say. And he has this news for the teenage girl. The angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive, give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. This young girl, never physically known a man, is going to have a baby. That's a harder promise to believe than Zechariah's, that the old man and woman would have a child. She's never known a man. Little teenage girl, probably illiterate, never gone to school, a nobody from a nobody family in a nobody town. And she isn't just going to have a baby. She's going to have the Son of God, the Messiah of the Jewish nation, the Savior of the world, the Lord of the universe, the King of kings. There hadn't been a king in Israel for 600 years. Under the domination of the most powerful empire in the world, Rome. And now this poor little girl, peasant girl, is going to come and have a baby who will be the King of kings and the King of all kingdoms. And so it would be only natural, like Mary, for us to ask, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And physiologically, I don't understand it. I don't know how it could happen. But the angel doesn't give a physiological answer. He gives a theological answer. He said, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. From the doctor's point of view, there's no good explanation. But in Luke 1:37, there's an answer that ought to satisfy anybody. For nothing will be impossible. That's the punchline. That's what is true about this entire story. That statement is what Christmas is all about. That God, Almighty God, can take nothing and create everything. And God can take an old man and an old woman in their 90s and give them a child. And God can take a young peasant girl who's never slept with a man and give her the Messiah that the world has been waiting for. And it means that God can take on human flesh, come into this world like a man, and he can be killed and raised from the dead. He can forgive any sin because why? Nothing will be impossible. When you're in the waiting room, that is Exhibit A. No matter how long you have been there, never give up. Because while you are waiting, God is moving. And while you are working, God is listening. And while you are watching, God is answering. You know what the name Zechariah means? God remembers. And God remembers every promise he ever makes, every prophecy he ever makes, he remembers. He says, if you will keep waiting while I'm moving, if you will keep working while I'm listening, if you will keep watching, I am coming. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, there are some folks here in the waiting room. Some have been in it a long time. And I simply bring them before you in prayer and ask you to continue to work. I know you're working. Would you continue to work in their lives and be with them and give them strength and help and hope that the same God who was quiet for 400 years, even though he seems quiet in their lives, that he's moving and working and coming as we walk with you in Jesus' name. And I want to ask you to keep your head bowed. Pray for you. You know, last week, I have the privilege, because I'm up here and I talk a lot, but I had the privilege of asking you to pray for my dad. And you know what else I had? I had the privilege of saying to my dad, Dad, hundreds of people are praying for you. If you need somebody to pray, don't be too proud to ask. I have some friends that are right here, staff, deacons, wives, and we want to pray for you. If you need somebody to pray, you just have to ask. We're not going to come and find you, point you out. We just ask. If we can pray for you, then right now, wherever you are, step out and come and say, yes, I need somebody to pray for me right now. Maybe you want to know about this Savior who, while you're in the waiting room, is working and listening and he's doing things because he came at Christmas so he could know you. He wanted you to know what God is like, and he wants to know you. And you can have a relationship, not religion, a relationship with him. And if you've never become a Christian, why not for Christmas this year say, I'm going to investigate this. I'm going to open the door. We're not going to twist your arm or argue with you, but we'll help you know what God can do in your life. You know, maybe you want to use the steps and just spend a moment and say, God, thank you. Jacob's going to sing. He's going to lead us in singing together as we worship. And as we do, if we can help, we're here. I invite you to come right now as he sings.